Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. In 1971, the movie Harold and Maude was released. It starred Bud Cort and Ruth Gordon in what could well be their most memorable roles. The film combines black comedy with drama to give us a new way to think about life, love, and age. And it features a memorable soundtrack by Yusuf Islam, probably better known to you as Cat Stevens. More than 50 years after its release, Harold and Maude still holds up. Just ask my fellow British Columbian, Heidi Greco. She's the author of Glorious Birds, a celebratory homage to Harold and Maude. Heidi says that this movie is one of a kind in the genre of unconventional romances.
The main way that it is unconventional is the fact that Maude is pretty well four times Harold's age. She's about to turn 80 and he is about 20. It's never specified exactly. And I cannot think of another film where such a huge age difference occurs. But I do point out, and it will always bother me, that in our culture, it's perfectly acceptable for an 80-year-old man to have a 21-year-old piece of eye candy female on his arm, but the other way doesn't work.
Exactly. How were Bud Cort and Ruth Gordon cast as Harold and Maude?
He was bold enough to declare when he went for the tryout for it to say bluntly to Hal Ashby, "Hi, I'm your guy." And Ashby, I guess, was charmed by that. Ashby had noticed him before because Cort had been in two Altman films. Cort fit Ashby's parameters. With Ruth Gordon, it was not as smooth. Ashby went to England and actually considered Dame Edith Evans, whom I just could not picture as Maude whatsoever. When Ruth Gordon got the job, it was definitely an improvement, at least as far as I'm concerned. She was worldly. She oozed sexuality, despite being mid-70s, which is what she actually was then. And she was believable as someone that a young man as unique as Harold might fall in love with.
Harold loves Maude. Maude loves Harold.
The film opens with a series of Harold's fake attempts to commit suicide. Can you talk about these scenes and what kind of emotional impact they had on you the first time you saw Harold and Maude?
You know, I'm not sure that it was the suicides that really did it for me. The thing that I think is the most important about the first suicide, in quotes, is the fact that the film begins with it, and that the film begins in darkness. Harold appears only feet first, walking down the stairs in quite a dark afternoon, and then he lights candles, and they're the only illumination. And I can't help but think that one of the reasons this film came out at solstice in December 20th of 1971, almost solstice, is that the whole film proceeds from darkness to light.
Don't be shy, just let your feelings roll on by. Don't wear fear, or nobody will know you're there.
Let's talk a bit about director Hal Ashby. What did he bring to the film, in your opinion?
Well, he brings that wonderful, his vision of a world that will be filled with peace and love, rather than one that is filled with war and hate. I love the little touches that he does, where he does his little Hitchcock cameos in the films. He was a visionary and he did things his own way. Yet another inspiration to me to do things my own way.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the anti-war content. Can you talk a bit more about that, about the anti-war content that we see in Harold and Maude?
The most poignant scene is when the camera pulls back on a veteran's graveyard, those anonymous, terribly anonymous looking white gravestones, and the camera pulls back and back and back and back and back until we're viewing thousands of graves of veterans. If that isn't a powerful statement against war, I can't imagine it being interpreted any other way. And of course, when Harold manages to get out of the draft, everything about the scene is ironic because Maude is helping him. She's carrying a peace sign, which he grabs and chases her with it, wielding the peace sign as a weapon. And then Harold is finally excused from military service because he is clearly too rabid about his own violent actions. So he's too ready to kill to be able to go to the military to kill.
Will they really teach me to shoot?
Sure they will, a variety of weapons.
To use a bayonet?
Yes!
How about hand-to-hand combat?
Yes!
To strangle someone, choke him, squeeze out his life in your own bare hands!
I think you're getting carried away, Harold.
How about...
The music for Harold and Maude was composed and performed by Yusuf Islam, alias the artist formerly known as Cat Stevens. And you say that the soundtrack serves as connective tissue to the film from the first scene to the last. That's a huge accomplishment. How did Cat Stevens do that?
The quote is actually one that was applied originally to The Graduate and to the way that the Simon and Garfunkel soundtrack worked for that. And I believe that that was inspiration for Ashby wanting to find the same kind of unified soundtrack to hold his film together. He apparently almost got Elton John, and then Elton John recommended his friend Cat Stevens and suggested that his music might be more suitable. Cat Stevens chose tunes from two previously published albums, but then there were two gaps in the soundtrack, and Cat Stevens had to write two more songs, both of which he thought weren't ready, but Ashby liked them as they were, and they turn out to be the If You Want to Sing Out, Sing Out, which is kind of the theme song for the film and its philosophy.
Well, if you want to sing out, sing out. And if you want to be free, be free. Because there's a million things to be, you know that there are.
Ashby convinced Cat Stevens that they worked as they were, that there was something about their rawness.
You end the book by saying you can't help but think the movie inspired you and helped you be brave enough to become the person you are today. Can you talk a bit more about how it made you brave?
1971 was barely the beginning of environmentalism as a public force. Obviously, people had been concerned about the environment, you know, much previously, but it was becoming big. Greenpeace was founded in Vancouver in 1971. Maude's rescuing the little tree and taking it to the forest, appreciating the earth.
Look at it. Oh, it's suffocating. Well, it's the smog. You know, people can live with it, but trees, it gives them asthma. They can't breathe.
Huh?
The leaves, look, they're turning brown. Harold, we have got to do something about this light.
What?
All of those philosophies were imprinted on me, and the film told me that it was okay to care about such things. At that time, it was going against the grain. It was going against the grain even for women to wear pants to work. The times were very different. Women had a place, and it was beneath, behind men. And yeah, this film told me that it was okay to be weird and it was okay to stand up for what you believe.
Hmm. Yeah, and those are important things to learn. Has writing this book changed the way you think about Harold and Maude?
It's crystallized it, you know, because I had to put it into words, but I don't love it any less. It may have not held up as well if it hadn't been for Chuck Melville, again, one of the directors, insisting that it be cut down because originally it was 3 hours long. And as he remarks, he said, oh my God, you know, like if you'd had to hear Maude pontificate about one of her pet things one more time, you know, like you just wanted to scream. So fortunately, I think that that's probably when Ashby stepped in to help make the cutting more extreme than it had been to that point. And tight editing is clearly one of the reasons that it endures.
Mm. Heidi Greco, thank you very much for joining us today, and congratulations on Glorious Birds, a celebratory homage to Harold and Maude. Heidi Greco is a poet, editor, critic, and the author of Glorious Birds, a celebratory homage to Harold and Maude. Find out more at wpr.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Patrick Somerville, Noah Hawley, and Heidi Greco. If you want to hear it again or catch up on past episodes, click on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast catcher and subscribe, follow, and like. And you can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
You actually got better after the world ended.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
Why do we need a leader at all?
And thanks to you, our alphas. More Beta comes your way next week. Until then, I'm Doug Gordon.
Your celebrity's a little less relevant in a post-apocalyptic context.